You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.
Today on our show, I'm talking with Joe Confino. He's talking to me from New York. Joe, thanks so much for being with me today.
Oh, it's a great joy to be with you, Brainerd.
Joe, tell me what you're working on lately, or maybe we should begin with, because I know a little bit about it, but it's good to talk to the, explain it to the viewers, what is your, how does your studio practice work? What does it consist of?
Well, my sort of day job is I'm a journalist, but the great love for me is photography, and the way I like to work is just to, I never plan anything. I literally like to sort of pound the streets or wherever I am and just see what I see. I love the way that, you know, when you walk with the eye of a photographer, in a sense, the world becomes much more richer and more detailed. And so you know, I love to have my eyes literally open. And when I see something, it's like, I don't work at it, I don't manipulate it, I just see something and I just know that that is an image that represents something for me.
And, you know, it's really a type of journalistic approach, isn't it? Or would you not see it that way, this kind of curiosity about the world and capturing what's happening now seems, although the images don't look that way, it seems journalistic. Do you see it at all that way?
Yeah, I do, in the sense that you know, for me, you know, journalism is trying to tell you about the world you live in and trying to give you perspectives that, you know, that you wouldn't be aware of, or to raise your, you know, to educate, inform, and entertain. And so in that sense, I like to reflect that in my photography, but in a very different way. And I think the best way to describe that is, you know, when I look over my photographs, that, you know, I think there are three key areas I focus on, but the main one is I like to focus on objects that are sort of decaying, and also that are often very small and insignificant. So it's the sort of thing that if you walk past it, 99.999% of people would never notice that object even existed and would certainly give it no value. And for me, what I like to do is sort of turn these sort of often very small objects or objects that most people would dismiss as being nothing, and in a sense give them a monumental quality, and beyond that give them value. And I think it's about, you know, where we place our attention is where we create value in the world. And I like to sort of almost, yeah, give love to objects that no one would love, and in a sense, by giving them attention is to give them meaning.
I like that. So let's talk a little bit about the hitting the pavement process, or the wandering process. I mean, you're in New York City, you're in the boroughs. What does that mean to wander? Because it's kind of an interesting activity. There's what you see on your way to work or to a job, you know, as a journalist, and then there's a kind of getting lost, I suppose, you know, the meaning of wandering, right? What does that mean to you? Is it when you're on the way to see something, or is there a method to the wandering, in a sense?
Well is there a method to my madness? Probably not. No. Well, I mean, one of the things I like to do is I like to go to areas that no one else would normally like to. So I'll often go with my bicycle and go to sort of an industrial estate in Queens or elsewhere, or in Brooklyn, where no one would go. And I like to sort of just nose around. So I'll walk any door that's open, I'll walk in, and any alleyway I'll walk down.
Often on a bicycle, it sounds like. We're not just talking about walking. You're biking around the boroughs?
Well, when I go to like a big industrial estate, I like to take my bike. But in town, I like to walk. And actually, you know, to be honest, most of my photographs are taken within a 1 mile radius of actually where I live.
Where do you live? You're living in Manhattan?
I live on the Lower East Side, and so you know, the radius of a mile, you know, takes me to Chinatown and the Lower East Side and the beginnings of the East Village and Soho and and, you know, over towards Greenwich Village. And that is, in a sense, my area that I most operate in. And what I like to do, and one of the reasons I love New York is ever-changing. You know, something that exists one day, you'll go back and it doesn't exist or it's changed. And so often I'll photograph things that are so impermanent that even an hour later they may have gone. And I love that, because the objects themselves that I photograph are decaying and impermanent, and then literally their existence in that place can be very impermanent. So I like the fact that it's ever changing, and that I don't need to go actually that far. And
I like that. And do you think that has something to do with New York itself? New York is this, you know, I mean, you've been in other cities, right? New York that it sounds like you know and is home now is this ever-changing city too. It's just everything is being built and rebuilt, and there's always people saying it was better then, but it's always, I find, very vital, yet changing constantly, unlike, let's say, European cities.
Yeah, no, absolutely. It's just constantly, you know, I mean, you know, you see that in the shops and the restaurants, all these pop-up stores. Everything's appearing and disappearing, you know, rising and then falling, sort of being born and then dying. And it's like this really fast cycle of growth and then sort of and then, you know, falling apart. And in a sense, I love to capture that sort of cycle. And in fact, one of the other things, every year I go with my wife to a Zen monastery in the south of France, and we're normally there for 2 weeks, and I take photographs literally, I would imagine, within a 1 or 2 acre area. And every year over those 2 weeks, I will just focus on one tiny area and look at what has changed in that time, and what is new, and every time I take photographs, they're different. So there's a particular sort of lotus pond, and in the winter, all the lotus flowers are dead, but you get this extraordinary shapes and the moments of different light during the early morning and the evening, and so actually I love that sort of sense of focusing on something, on a small area, but constantly revisiting and exploring and showcasing the changes there.
Yeah, that sounds lovely. It sounds like a lovely trip too. Is there's other types of work you do? I mean, we're in a sense talking about straight photography right now. Is that correct? And you're using, I don't know what kind of camera to shoot these, but this is straight photography we're talking about so far, just shooting from a camera and not manipulating the images.
Yes, exactly, and I like that sort of direct experience of what my eye sees and then capturing that. And also, I generally like to, not always, but I generally like to take something with one shot. I very rarely will stand there and take multiple shots of the same thing. It's like there's something in it that I just see and I want to capture, and then I move on. And it's not something I feel I need to perfect, or that I need to check every single angle, or every different light, or every, you know, it's generally right in that moment, and I wouldn't go back because I thought, oh, in the evening there will be better light. It doesn't feel like it's something that I want to wait for the perfect shot. It's that moment is important. That moment I witnessed it. That moment I want to capture it and then let it go.
I like that. And in the past, you've done some collages with patterns. I don't know if you still do that, but they're very beautiful, taking things like the Soho sidewalks and patterning them. Is that something you do at all still, collages?
I don't really do that now. In a sense, I went through a phase of that, and I might go back to it, but I really enjoyed the sort of also seeing, you know, the patterns where as you say, in Soho you have all these on the sidewalks, you have all these sort of bubbles of glass almost that are on the metal gratings. They're all these sort of like, it's like glass baubles, and some of them are like these beautiful sort of jewels almost. And the other thing I love taking are when there's sort of drain, you know, when you get the metal drains on the sidewalk and the different patterns you get there. So I, you know, I, you know, when I I don't go meaningfully to take lots of photos of the same thing, but when I see that a pattern is emerging, I like to do those collages. But in a sense, I don't do that so much. I think the other thing that I really like to focus on is photographs that are reflected in water or in windows, and also photographs that look like paintings. And in a sense, a lot of times people are unable to distinguish my photographs from paintings. They said, "Oh, that surely is a painting."
Well, that's a very different direction, isn't it? I've seen that in some of your latest works. They almost look like, rather than, I think, what you were talking about earlier, discovering something and giving an object attention in a way that others may not with a photographer's eye, the recent work that you're talking about that looks like paintings, we don't know what the object is in many cases, yeah. Or even if it is recognizable, like a newspaper, it's still can't understand how the image was made. So that's actually quite different, isn't it, than bringing attention to an object? That's another layer,
Yeah, it is another layer, and I think what's behind that is about, you know, one of the things that you know, I've realized through my photography is how my photographs represent aspects of myself, which I suppose is quite natural. And one of the things I'm always looking to is what's behind reality. You know, that we believe that this world that we see is all there is, and yet there's so many layers behind that. And so I think through my work I like to challenge what is reality. And that reality can be many things, and that in the photographs, that when photographs, you don't know if it's a painting, or you don't know what it is. It's about challenging you, saying, actually, I don't know. I think there's a huge value in always, you know, which is in a sense what a journalist does, constantly challenges what we think is reality and tries to get behind it. And I think my photographs are sort of in a sense also trying to do that sometimes. Say, you know,
but the most recent ones, in journalists are trying to challenge your reality, that's true, and allow you to see something perhaps in a way you haven't. The photographs, the most recent one, take that, it's a much different angle because there isn't necessarily an answer. I mean, you could explain how it was made, but we don't need the explanation to see that it's beautiful also.
Yes, exactly, and I think that's part of it, which is just saying allowing people to find their own meaning in something. So you know, I don't think ever, you know, I have my journalism, then my other joy in my life is I coach people, and I'm looking to support people in their own transformation. I'm trying to help people to see something that is beyond who they think they are. And so my photographs, in a sense, that is saying we are more than we think we are. You know, what we see in the world, there's much more than we think they are. You know, and that's very aligned with what I love doing and working with around people is to challenge them about to take people a little bit off center, that when they're able to see themselves in a new way, to be able to experience themselves in a new way. And I think, that's why I like photography. I never take, you know, the obvious picture because for me that's very flat. What I want people to do is question something, is have an interest to see a little bit of mystery and something beyond the norm.
Hmm. I like that. I like that very much. And so let's talk about that last exhibit. Where was this work exhibited last? Because I'm curious how people perceive it too.
Yeah, so that's a great question. So I had an exhibition on the Lower East Side in Orchard Street last year, which actually was with my wife, and it was a great exhibition because it was called Call and Response, and one of the reasons I really liked it was because it actually showed that because my wife is an artist as well, and how It was a show that showed the relationship between both our practices, and how in the discussion and showing of our work that we sort of in a sense have developed an unspoken relationship. And you know, to be honest, my wife is a full-time artist, so a lot I think of what I've learned is is through her about art and about things that she has become fascinated about, which I think I've sort of almost taken on board and represent in my own way. And so that exhibition was a lovely way where we paired up, one of her works, a sculpture or a print, and then one of my works, and people really responded. It's called call and response. People really did respond to that. I think
it's unusual for people to respond. So tell me a little bit about how people responded, the conversations there. People were open.
One of the conversations I felt was most interesting was because we did an artist talk, and actually one of the people asked me almost the most obvious question, but I sometimes find the most obvious question asked in a fresh way elicits sometimes a deep insight. And the most obvious question they asked me was, I love your works, but what do they represent for you? What is it about the works that I presented? And it was really interesting because what I wasn't expecting to say what I said, but what I said is, and the most of the photographs were about these, as I mentioned, these insignificant objects that, were rotting and that no one valued. And I said, what I think these works represent is about an aspect of myself, because when I was young, I was quite a lonely child and felt very insecure and very unloved, and that I felt very, I remember when I was quite young, I didn't quite know why I existed, because I didn't feel I had any value, and that actually by giving attention to objects that have no value, I'm actually representing an aspect of myself, but giving them the attention that I felt I was lacking in. And so that was really interesting for me, that actually so much of, I think for all artists, by its nature, we're representing in the world an aspect of our psychology or our deep feelings that are sometimes unrecognized or unspoken, but our unconscious represents those ideas in the real world. And so I thought that was a really fascinating discussion around and debate around how, what it is that is deepest within us when we allow our spontaneity to come out. And I think that's the other reason I like to be spontaneous, is because I think when we're planned, when we plan everything, we operate in the conscious and we're trying to manipulate. And when we're allowing things to manifest, what we're actually doing deep down is allowing our subconscious and unconscious to come out to play and to express itself.
No, that's so true. And it's so, but it's also in hindsight that you understood those things, right? That's starting out without a kind of intent. But that kind of analysis or understanding of your past comes with the making of a body of work, right? That came out of what was happening at the show because work was presented, wasn't it? Or did you realize that quite a while ago?
No. That's what I'm saying. The insight came as I spoke. It's a little bit like therapy sometimes, where in the conversation with a therapist, you gain an insight which, if you were just going about your daily, normal day-to-day living, would very rarely have an opportunity to come out. And so in that sense, I think my art, and for many artists, it's an opportunity to express something that's deep and often unspoken, which is, and the purpose behind that, I think, is it's like a tuning fork. But what you're hoping is that an aspect in someone else's viewing it will resonate to the sound you have created through that work.
I like that so much. Joe, thanks for saying that. Let me ask you, before we go, your website is here and links to some of what we're talking about. What are you reading at the moment? I'm always curious what everyone's reading.
Yeah, well, I've been reading a book called Nonviolent Communication, but I think it's Joshua Rosenberg is his name, and it's around how to work with people and how to, in a sense, how to negotiate life in a way where you work with. You have a deep understanding of how you're representing yourself in the world. Are you being angry? Are you listening? Are you Are you, do you feel that the person speaking to you is, you know, if they're attacking you, how do you deal with that? And the book is very much around how do we, if we become better at understanding ourselves and communicating more effectively, how we will avoid so much conflict, you know, within our relationships, within our families, within our communities, and of course, within the world.
I love that. Sounds like a very, how we should evolve to be. What was the name of that book?
Nonviolent Communication.
I want to thank you, Joe, for talking with me today. It's really been a pleasure.
Great, and thank you for the opportunity.
You're listening to Yale Radio WYBC. This is Brainerd Carey with the lives of the artists, architects, curators, and more.